Great. Afternoon, everybody. We're going to get started here. Charlie Higgins, a partner with Century. Happy to introduce you all to Leo Mazur, who's the CEO of Citius Pharmaceuticals.
So, okay. Thank you.
Leo, all yours.
Pleasure. First of all, I want to thank everybody for joining me this afternoon. It's a real pleasure to be here. Great. Love being in a NASDAQ building. So we're Citius Pharmaceutical, and we are located in beautiful New Jersey off of exit 136 off the Garden State Parkway. If you ever choose to visit us, we invite you to visit our worldwide headquarters. Thank you. So with that, just for full disclosure, I'm going to be making some forward-looking statements. And what I always like to say about this statement right here, if you have difficulty falling asleep this evening, I want you to read this from beginning to end. By the time you get to the end, you will be asleep. So, so just some highlights about the company. So we have three assets and three pharmaceutical assets. And what we're very fortunate about is that one is approved, and which makes me feel really, really good standing up here being able to say that, because what that's enabled us to do now, for years, I always said we were pre-revenue, which was a generous term for we need money. So with that, we're now moving into the revenue stage, and I think that's really, it's just a great feeling to be able to have a company finally generating cash. So with that, it'll start out slow, but we'll get there. So and that's coming through Lymphir, which is a cancer drug for a very rare cancer that affects a small number of people, but it's cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. It's a deadly cancer. So we have we took this asset and we spun it off. Just some background here. We had the parent company is Citius Pharmaceuticals. We have two companies, actually, and the subsidiary company is Citius Oncology. So what we did when we in-licensed or acquired a license for Citius, for Lymphir, for Citius, and we put it into the sub, at one point a brokerage firm came to us and said, hey, you should take that sub and put it into, we can have a SPAC acquire it, and you can have a full NASDAQ listing immediately, which we were looking for ways to see if we could raise funds to be able to launch Lymphir without diluting necessarily the Citius Pharmaceutical shareholders. And that was one of the principal reasons why we set up two companies. And we thought having a cancer-only company gives us a special cachet, special meaning in the marketplace. And obviously, the cancer market, as far as biotech and pharma is concerned, is probably the hottest market out of them all. No doubt about that. So we basically launched the drug in December of 25, just a couple of months ago. I should highlight for you, we did this without the sales force in place. We just still didn't have our sales force in place. We launched it at the end of December. We already had contracts with all the major wholesalers, and we were able to move it in. And what really surprised us is this. Without any salespeople out there, and just the fact all we did was put out a mailing and an email, the drugs started moving out of the wholesalers just about immediately into the hospitals, and some of the hospitals initiated formulary approvals quickly. And that came from those oncologists that have been waiting for Lymphir. So we've got great traction. Great number of hospitals now have already formulary approvals, and we think setting this early pace is a good sign for us. So the first salespeople actually just came on board this week. So we're doing it in tranches. We're going to have a sales force with a resounding number of 25. So, and the reason for it is because we got a marketplace here that has 3,000 patients, and the number of oncologists that see those is a small number in any fashion. So with that, we were able to buy. We bought claims data. We spent time analyzing this market very, very carefully. I think we have a great understanding of this market at this point. We've identified where all the treaters are, and we know the number of patients that they have monthly. So that's, and I think that's very critical information for us. The other asset that we have is Mino-Lok, which is the first asset that we have that's in CTXR. And that's an antibiotic lock solution that we licensed from MD Anderson. It's really the only treatment that's potentially going to be out there to salvage infected central venous catheters. Real problem for patients that have CLABSI, CURBSI, or central line associated bloodstream infections. We're now engaged with the FDA on the latest clinical data that we generated. We're not sure which way that's going to go, but hopefully at some point we'll have resolution of this in the coming months. Our last asset that we have, which is kind of far afield from these other two, is Halo Lido, which is for hemorrhoids of all things. And as I've explained to you before, the reason we had this is when we merged in with Citius, this asset was sitting there, and we weren't sure what to do with it until we looked into it and found out that there, in this day and age, 2025, 26, there isn't a single FDA-approved prescription drug for the treatment of hemorrhoids in the market, in the U.S., which seems kind of ludicrous. So we thought if we could just prove that it works, we'll be able to monetize it for the shareholders and out-license it or sell it off at the right time to when we get some data. So in terms of, just to give you a quick profile as far as Citius Oncology is concerned, the symbol CTOR, it is a standalone company, and we have a shared management services agreement in place between the two companies. This way, it's much more economical for us. So the same management team that's in Citius, the parent company, Citius Pharmaceutical, is in Citius Oncology under a shared services agreement. What we'll do is, over time, probably it'll take about a year, maybe longer, once we start to really build up the revenue in CTOR, we'll start adding in and phasing in the people one by one on a full-time basis. So, but nevertheless, we've got a great team of people working on the drug at this point. So as I highlighted for you, in terms of Lymphir, it's about a $400 to $500 million market that exists presently. It's only with about three drugs, and that's it for the time being. What's interesting about it is this, that whenever somebody new launches into this market, you're not taking market share away from anybody. You're actually adding to the market. That's really important because of the way the oncologist practices. There's no 1, 2, 3 in terms of the paradigm of the drugs that are out there. All they're doing is, as they're treating those patients, the patient encounters side effects, they'll drop the drug, they'll use another drug. They get start getting real good outcomes. They may want to try something else to keep it going. So with that, we've seen it with the other three drugs that came in. When they came in, the market size went up and will go up too. We'll take this market up once we're out there. So we also have some investigator-led INDs that I'll describe for you later. So this is what the drug looks like. The indication is it's indicated for treatment of adult patients with relapsed or refractory stages 1 through 3 cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. After at least one prior systemic treatment. So basically, we've got everything set up in terms of supply throughout the United States, and as I said, we've got good adoption early on. In terms of the initial revenue that we reported, which was for that quarter ending December of 25, that was our first quarter, because we're on a September 30th fiscal year, so you got kind of keep that straight if you can. So we did 83% of the accounts that are out there, accounts meaning the hospital accounts, they've already started or initiated a formulary approval process or already have formulary approval. We've got great growth coming in terms of the orders from those institutions. The initial accounts, some of them are already placing in repeat orders, which is good. So what I should also highlight for you is the way this drug is used, it's basically a six-month treatment with 1 week on, 3 weeks off. So basically that's how it works. We've got 135 health plans secured, 80% of the covered lives that are out there for this. We have no reported reimbursement denials at this point. Everything looks like it's coming along smoothly. Good penetration into the infusion centers. So in terms of this is what I call our mugshots. So this is the corporate management team. So what I like to say about this management team is this. We do not have any interns, any trainees, any summer programs. We don't have any of that. All of our people are solid professionals with a track record of accomplishment in our business. And That's, I feel very confident, and I have a lot of confidence in our people. They've done a great job in terms of bringing the drug along, bringing everything along that we have. So, but let me just also highlight for you Dr. Myron Chuchman, who's our chief medical officer. I call him our secret weapon. So Myron is, first of all, I want to highlight something. We are the only pharmaceutical company in America that has two Myrons in their upper management. So with that, Dr. Myron Chuchman is an oncologist. He's our chief medical officer. He spent 23 years at Roswell Park in Buffalo as the chief of lymphoma, published 180 papers. So he's a true global KOL. He's known around the world by everybody. And we actually hired him a year before we did the transaction. I had no idea that we were doing this. And it came about because Myron, after 23 years at Roswell Park, went to Celgene, spent 5 years there. They get acquired by Bristol Myers. He didn't want to be with a larger company. So we were able to pick him up. He wanted to be in a smaller company, and it was just a fortuitous hire for us. So Mike McGuire, just for everybody here, is our chief of commercial operations, 25 years at Hoffman & Roche, launched every major antibiotic, and is a true, true marketing expert in terms of hospital marketing and this market segment. Omar Lansari, who is our director of marketing, was at Regeneron, where he participated in all their major launches. So as I said, we've got some great people on board with us. So in terms of cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, just what is it? First of all, this cancer is completely incurable. And what I should highlight for you is there's a progression here for this disease. It goes that it really starts with being a skin disease, and it gets misdiagnosed. A lot of people go to the dermatologist thinking they have psoriasis or something like that. It goes on for a while, but then it enters into the tumor phase, and when it does, it's pretty awful. And I'll show you in a second. So in terms of what this looks like, if it gets on your face, it's disfiguring. It's not a pleasant disease, and one of the reasons is because one of its manifestations is severe itching down to the bone, and we provide relief from that. So these patients are they're going to be so grateful when this drug becomes available to them because of that. So what happens, and I should point out the variability of this, is so some people never come out of the derm phase. Others move into the tumor phase. Some that are in the tumor phase will progress and unfortunately pass away. Others will not. It'll stay with them for years. So you've got a lot of variability there. In terms of our mechanism of action, we have a very unique one because we lower something known as Tregs in the microenvironment of a cancer cell. And that's really, really important and critical down the road, as I'll explain to you. But it is unique, and basically it provides targeted therapy against malignant T cells, and it has an immunotherapy effect against those Tregs. In terms of the competitive landscape, the competition that we have here we have three drugs, Adcetris from Pfizer, Proteligio from Kyoto Kirin, which is a Japanese company, which was the last drug launched in 2018, and then Isodax, which is really formerly a Celgene drug that Bristol Myers had, and they're not promoting it anymore. We think we have certain key advantages against these drugs, but as we all know, everybody stands up and says, we have all these advantages against these drugs. We just think that we know that there's a definite place for this, and that the oncologist and the hematology community, they're waiting for this drug to be available to give to certain patients. I highlighted for you that it's a small market, and basically, just to give you an idea, the number of doctors or oncologists that diagnose more than 20 patients in a year is 141. The number of doctors that treat greater than three is about 427, roughly. That's it. So it's a small number. So just to show you how they're scattered across the country, this is concentrated. We used to say this follows the smile, goes up around the coast and up, but for the most part, that is pretty much how it goes. So 60%, easy to reach. So as I said, we've identified where every single physician is, wherever oncologist is, we know exactly how they're treating. So in terms of the distribution network that we have right now at this point, so we've got agreements with all three major wholesalers. It's all in place. We make sure that this drug has distribution everywhere across the country. Nobody should be able to say that they have a difficulty being able to access it, because it is available. Our inventory is sufficient, and one of the reasons is this. It's very unusual for this. I got to say, it's the first time in my career that we have a shelf life or expiration date of 5 years, which is phenomenal as far as for all of us that are in the business. So outside the United States, we do have a program that we can initiate called Name Patient, which basically we've already entered into agreements in certain European and Middle Eastern markets. So there are legs beyond cutaneous T-cell lymphoma for the drug, and I want to highlight these for you. So in these two instances, at the University of Minnesota and the University of Pittsburgh, the physicians filed what is known as an investigator IND. And what that means is any investigator in the United States that wants to study an unapproved use of drugs can make an application with the FDA, and usually they'll get an approval for it. So the one at the University of Pittsburgh, for example, he filed for an approval to study our drug combined with Keytruda, the largest selling drug in the world that Merck has for cancer. And that basically he had a reason for it, and that is that we had published a study, an animal trial, showing that if you combine our drug, Lymphir, with a PD-1 inhibitor, that's the class that Keytruda is in, basically the combination worked a lot better than the single entities by themselves. So, and the reason for it is this, it's the MOA. I told you before, what Lymphir does is it lowers the Tregs. Keytruda, on the other hand, has the opposite effect. It increases them. And what you really want to do therapeutically is you want to bring the Keytruda one down to get more efficacy of it. And sure enough, in terms of the data that got it, we just released some top-line data. The full data pack will be presented at a poster at ASCO meeting at the end of May. But what it showed was that the combination had a 24% objective response rate, and which is really in solid tumors in female cancers only, in ovarian and endometrial. So, which is amazing, actually. That data is incredible. So we think there's enough here to move into a phase two trial, and we think this has some significant potential. The other one that was done at the University of Minnesota by a leading investigator basically showed that the combined Lymphir with CAR-T, which is another breakthrough treatment in cancer. So what's great about all this is it puts us in the forefront of all the cancer breakthroughs. And I think what Dr. Churchman has said to me, and he said to others, he strongly believes that what we have the potential for here is that ultimately we can become a great mixer with other cancer therapeutics. And I think that's a great area of opportunity for us. Another great area of opportunity for us is peripheral T-cell lymphoma. So peripheral T-cell lymphoma is a wider lymphoma. The market for this is about five times the size of the CTCL market. It's on the market and approved in Japan. There's data from there. So we'll be able to highlight this, especially with our medical science liaison force that we're going to have out there that's going to be able to speak about unapproved uses under FDA guidelines. So these are great opportunities for growth here. Plus, in addition to that, we've got 12 years of BLA exclusivity from the FDA. We got two patents pending on this with Lymphir used in combination with others. The manufacturing process is very complex and takes forever, so it's another barrier for entry for others. And we also have orphan drug exclusivity for a 7-year period. So with that, I'll move into Mino-Lok very quickly. So I got to see how much time I have. Okay, so basically, this is an antibiotic lock solution that we ran a clinical trial, 200 and 40-some patients, basically, with that study. We basically hit all our parameters, all of our primary and secondary endpoints, had a p-value of P0006, which is incredible. And we are now in discussions with the FDA about this drug in terms of where we go to and next steps. We should know something in the next couple months. Just to give you a quick profile here, so this is used in where central venous catheters, and central venous catheters are inserted primarily in mostly in cancer patients. They're very painful. It's a surgical procedure. It's painful for the patients, and if they get infected, you've got to surgically remove them and surgically replace them. Two separate surgical procedures, not liked by anybody. So what happened here is Dr. Issam Rad at MD Anderson came up with a solution, and what's important about that is that, just to highlight this, something known as biofilm, which is bacterial slime, forms on the inner walls of the catheter, and it's very hard to remove. But what Dr. Rad came up with is a solution that can get rid of even that, which is really remarkable. So the market potential for this is significant. We think there's about 400, somewhere close to 500,000 incidences of CLABSI, CURBSI, as it's called, in the United States. We think ultimately this is could be a significant product both in the United States and outside the United States. So this drug is easy to administer. So all that has to happen is the nurse will come in, inject the solution into the catheter. The line gets locked. This drug does not go into man at all, which makes it really interesting. And it'll sit there for 2 hours. At the end of 2 hours, the nurse comes in, aspirates out the contents, flushes the line, and the patient has 22 hours of uninterrupted IV flow. That's really, really critical. So that's what Dr. Rad wanted to achieve. He wanted to have a medication, something that could be delivered without compromising the IV time for those patients. So repeat this procedure 5 to 7 times, 5 to 7 days, and by the end of that time frame, that catheter and that line are completely clear of everything. So this is the data from the phase 3 trial. I already highlighted all of it for you. Basically, it was done to measure time to the primary endpoint was medium time to failure of the catheter. We did really, really well, as you can see there, as compared to the control, as controlled to not a placebo arm, but basically an active arm. In terms of Halo-Lido, this is our hemorrhoid drug, and Halo-Lido, as I indicated to you, this is basically a significant market opportunity. Again, we have no interest in marketing this drug whatsoever, so the goal here is monetize it. It's a big market with a lot of potential. Halo-Lido stands for halobetazole and lidocaine. That's the combination of the drug that we're using in here. So with that, just to summarize, so we have our first oncology asset being launched and demonstrating early traction. We've got de-risked drivers in here already in the sense that we've got payer access, repeat ordering, concentrated prescriber base is great. The positive early data in terms of both the CAR-T and the IO combinations for upside. Additional value drivers for the company ultimately include Mino-Lok itself and Halo-Lido. And plus, just to highlight again, a majority position of Citius Oncology is owned by Citius Pharmaceuticals. So we'll be reporting the results for both. The identical results will be reported in both companies. So I think we still have a little bit of time for some questions. All right, if you don't have any questions, we're going to hand you a test. So, no. Yes?
The hemorrhoid product, how long do you think that's?
We'd like to get something.
How long do you think it'll be before it finishes?
Well, I think we can. We know that you can run and execute a trial there very quickly. There's no difficulty recruiting in terms of that trial. So, obviously. So, basically, we'd like to get a trial off the ground if we can within this calendar year. And we'll see. It'll probably take 3-4 months. To get some data out of that, ultimately. Any other questions? Yes? We know that we're going to require just some additional funds just to finish this, the hiring of our sales force. And after that, we should be moving off on our own as quickly as possible. Any other questions? All right, you've been a great audience. Thank you. Appreciate it.